Hi, I'm Jordan Everson, a public health analyst at OMC, and today I'm speaking with the authors of a recent study on patient attitudes about immediate access to test results appearing in JAMA Open. The study is deeply relevant to OMC's recent policy, and I'm excited to talk about the implications with the authors. Today I'm joined by Brian Stites, instructor in the Department of Biomedical Informatics at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, Robert Turer, assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, and Catherine DeRoche, Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and the Executive Director of Open Notes. I'd like to thank you all for joining me today and start with a question for Brian. Brian, could you provide an overview of your study and the key findings? What did patients say about test results that were immediately released to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So our study provides, I think, the largest multi-site survey to date about patient portal users' perceptions and attitudes, kind of related to viewing their immediately released test results through the patient portal since the implementation of the 21st Century Cures Act. So we surveyed patients who received their results between April 2021 and April 2022 across four academic medical centers, and we received just over 8,000 responses. So a couple of really key findings. So first, and I think kind of overall, patients and care partners were really overwhelmingly supportive and preferred to have their immediate access to results. So this was even if it meant reviewing the results before their provider. This held true even among those individuals receiving abnormal results. And just, even though there was this preference towards receiving these immediately released results, receiving the abnormal results was associated with nearly twice the likelihood of worry compared to respondents who received normal results. We also found an association between pre-counseling, so this is whether a clinician discussed the reason for the test and the implications for the test prior to ordering or at the time of ordering, and found this association between pre-counseling and reduced patient worry. But this association was only significant at two sites. And when we combine the models across all sites, not significant in that combined model.
Great. So thank you for that kind of high-level overview. I wanted to follow up with the question, kind of drilling down into the question of worry and potential psychological or emotional effects from getting immediate access for test results. And this is really a question for you, Rob. So you report that overall about 8% of patients were more worried after seeing test results than before. And something I thought was interesting is that more patients said they were less worried after seeing test results, normal or abnormal, than before seeing those results. So if I read your first figure right in the paper, 51% of patients are less worried after seeing a normal test result, and 36% of patients are less worried after seeing an abnormal test result, compared to smaller percent that are more worried after seeing results. So, overall, how should we think about the potential psychological harms or maybe benefits to patients from the immediate release of results?
Yeah, so our study provides a pretty large sample size that suggests, in aggregate, that information is empowering to patients and it can relieve worry, I think, is sort of the big picture story of what you're describing here, even in the setting of abnormal test results. However, it's probably a little bit too early to get too deep into psychological harms or benefits to patients from the immediate release of these results, especially in the setting that, we haven't studied this specifically. We have this evidence in aggregate, but this really is going to require more in-depth studies, qualitative work most likely, as well as more generalizable work, including other cohorts, to be able to say that more definitively.
Do you have a sense of what that kind of work would look like, just very broadly?
I mean, I think you start by finding a cohort like the one that we had, and we go and start open-ended with, unstructured interviews and see where they go and follow a progressively more structured approach. The other thing is inherently our study was focused on existing portal users, which introduces a significant bias that we all want to make sure that we're accounting for as we design future studies to make sure that we're getting out and asking folks who maybe don't regularly use the tools why they don't, how they might benefit them, but also what they might be afraid of related to the use of the tools.
I guess I think maybe on that thread, one thing I noted in this study is that you report that 17% of patients that received test results through the portal were more worried after viewing abnormal results than before seeing the result. And I was wondering if you have a sense of how that compares to rates of worry among patients who are told by a clinician, told by their physician. I could imagine, you know, bad news is kind of bad news and would make me worried regardless of whether I heard it from a clinician or saw it on my portal. And I'm wondering if you could describe, you know, what is the difference in hearing it from a clinician versus seeing it on a portal? And maybe tied to that, are there things we could do to bridge whatever difference you perceive there?
You know, my personal instinct was I was expecting that number to be higher than it was. But I again, sort of like our prior question, I'm not sure that we can answer this with sufficient rigor yet to answer that question definitively. And it definitely wasn't addressed by the work we did in this study. It's a perfect nidus for future studies, though.
Mm-hmm. Maybe following up on bridging that gap and that idea, and this question for Brian is, one of the key implications of your study you mentioned is the role of pre-counseling to prepare patients for test results. Could you just expand on that more? Do you have a sense of how often patients understand the implications of results today? How might that be improved? I'll tell you from experience, I recently received an abnormal result and it ended up being pretty meaningless, but it really took me independently digging online to figure that out. And I wonder if that could go better. I did that digging, you know, before the physician got back to me. Maybe I could be helped by the portal in doing that. I don't know, just some thoughts and wondering about your views.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think the study didn't specifically measure the patient understanding around the result, but did take, I think, kind of a sense of what are patients needing as far as information seeking and kind of next steps after reviewing that result to get the most benefit. So we did see that nearly 57% of respondents in our survey went looking for additional information after they reviewed those results. And the majority of these individuals looked at the internet, about a quarter asked another healthcare provider. And then in some of our previously published research, so this is another paper from about a year ago or so, we were looking at result review trends following our transition to Cures compliance here at Vanderbilt, and found that messaging nearly doubled in the 6 hours following reviewing messages compared to that pre-Cures time. And so, you know, again, while we can't really say and speak to the understanding, I think both of these findings suggest that there are these unmet information needs, especially around the reviewing and understanding the implications of the results, and is a really great point and really great opportunity for future study.
Yeah, I wonder, with this idea of kind of unmet information needs in mind, is there something you all are thinking to explore or would recommend health systems or health IT developers would do to kind of facilitate transition to immediate release and maximize the benefit, minimize, you know, the potential negative impacts of that transition to immediate release? I don't know, maybe Vanderbilt has done specific things or your other institutions.
Not as familiar with other institutions. I know, you know, many of the patient portals offer functionality with select like information resources that are available through the portal, or different ways of helping to address those information needs, either through pre-counseling or different resources, or even in some instances, things like automated chat features, things like that. But I think there's also opportunity allowing patients to have greater flexibility in kind of managing the release and notification preferences. And I think while some patients may like to receive these results as soon as possible and have time to review and do their own research, there's also likely a cohort of patients who would rather wait and get some of this information from a provider where they're able to ask questions or get the provider's thoughts and then go do their research. And so I think we've got some ongoing work to investigate some of these notification preferences and some of these opportunities. But that's still ongoing and something we're really looking forward to.
Any other thoughts from the panel on kind of strategies health systems and developers might pursue around this?
Well, there does seem to be a trend toward toward pushing it out information to patients through the portal at the time that the test is ordered, saying, you may see these results before, like my home institution sends a notification that you may see the results before I do, but I will call you. They sort of try to set the expectations for patients that, yep, you might see this, but I'm still going to get in touch with you. So if you have questions, you know, don't worry about it. We are going to get a chance to talk. So kind of setting that up in advance to manage expectations does seem to be something I've seen, I'm hearing from lots of different places, that seems to be how they're handling it, rather than, I think what's kind of implicit in what you're saying is, are there resources that could be provided post-test, like a medical dictionary, or here's the range with a little explanation saying, if you're just outside the range, that really doesn't mean anything for this test. And I haven't seen as much of that kind of work as I have the sort of pre-expectation management.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like maybe there are three options. There's more information, there's expectation setting, and then the third Brian was describing was really giving patients the ability to exert their preferences.
Mm-hmm. And making sure that patients know that they can. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that most patients, unless you're kind of a portal super user, you probably don't know that you can change your notification settings.
Although it makes a lot of sense. I can change my notifications for everything else. Why not for the patient portal?
Right.
That's really helpful to think through kind of the range of options. But I wanted to take a step back and think a little bit more about the broader context of your study. And Catherine, this is a question for you. I'm aware of a few other studies on this topic and patient views on receiving test results in the portal. But I want to ask, you know, how your results compare to those other studies and if you have a sense for why there might be differences.
Sure. So there are a few studies around this topic and a couple that were done kind of right before the implementation of the rule. And what those studies showed, first, I just want to mention these are small studies. So take them, you know, take the results for what they're worth. They're small studies. But one showed that physicians, not surprisingly, physicians and patients are pretty far apart on their views of getting test results through the portal, with patients being overwhelmingly positive about it and clinicians feeling like this is not a great idea. My patients are going to be very worried and upset by what they're seeing. So there's a big gap, which is not a surprise. The other kind of right before the Cures Rule was implemented study showed that patients had differing preferences for what they wanted to receive through the portal. And it really looks like those preferences are affected by how serious they perceive the tests to be. So for things like cholesterol checks or a strep test, they're very willing to get those results through the portal. But as you get to things like genetic testing, PET scans for Alzheimer's, that was another thing that they talked about. Those results, they're much less likely to want to get those results through the portal. Although when on follow-up questions asked, what if it meant you had to wait 5 days, 10 days, 2 weeks for the results, the proportion of people saying, no, I want to wait for my doctor to tell me goes down quite a bit. So people are kind of trading off. I really want this information. And the longer I wait, the less picky I am about how I get it. Our results are different. And I think it's primarily related to, you know, those prior studies were really based on hypothetical questions. You know, what if you knew this, or what if you had a test for this? And so people were imagining, oh, what if I was really worried that my mother has Alzheimer's and we were waiting, you know, for a test result, what would I want? And we think differently about things when we think about them in a hypothetical way versus a real world experiences, which is what we were testing. When real world experiences happen, often people are like, oh, actually, that was that was okay. That I was worried, but it was okay that I was worried, and I still got to talk to the doctor and it worked out fine. So it's kind of this, I think both patients and clinicians can go to that kind of worst case scenario right away. And that makes it more likely for them to have kind of different views about things like, oh no, the worst case scenario, I would never want to get that through the portal. But most of us aren't dealing with the worst case scenario every day. And it turns out that patients really felt like, oh, okay, this was actually okay. So I think that's the main difference.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that last piece because I was having trouble thinking about why the hypothetical would be so different from kind of the lived experience. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea of going to the worst case scenario in your mind when you're answering in a survey question makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Well, and the questions in that study deliberately invoked that worst case scenario, those worst case scenario situations.
Right. Got it. Okay. Yet more reason that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on the other side of kind of the, maybe not the worst case scenario, but the problem, I think this is a question primarily for Rob, but anyone could jump in, I suppose, is I wanted to get a sense of how you see the problem that is being addressed by the immediate release of results. You know, we at ONC did some analysis a few years back and saw that about 10% of people, that's just, you know, all people, report having waited longer than they thought was reasonable to get a test result in the prior year. And, you know, that's a pretty high number given that a decent fraction of folks didn't have a test result. And so I wonder what kind of demand or related motivation you all have seen for the immediate release of test results, to what extent, you know, this is a problem you characterize it or how you describe it.
Sure. So at the end of the day, open results is about, you know, empowering patients to use clinical data, which is their data, to make informed decisions about their lives, their healthcare. The reality is healthcare is complex, and there are plenty of situations where balls get dropped within, you know, daily care practices. And I think a lot of these situations are opportunities where immediate release of results and access to portals could allow patients to raise concerns earlier. And it may provide a safety net for patients to identify problems that would be missed by a primary team, just given the overburdened nature of healthcare for a lot of teams these days. It also allows for easier sharing. So as, you know, a personal example, when I work clinically as an emergency physician, often folks have gone to 2, 3, 4 health systems within the last 6 months. And I find that oftentimes if we're not using a compatible EHR, I can't see their records. But nowadays, a lot of patients are starting to become more nimble with the use of patient portals. And I can see the results from another institution because the patient has access and is empowered to share that information. So it enhances interoperability. It lets me personally take better care of folks in a collaborative way and avoids waste by not having to repeat studies that they had already had 1, 2, 3 weeks ago. So in addition to an empowerment thing, it's also a patient safety thing. So that to me is, you know, the core of the problem that we're trying to solve here.
I love that. I often think of the empowerment side, but the patient safety side is one that I hear less frequent and think it makes a whole lot of sense. You know, one more set of eyes. Really valuable. So you mentioned open results, and that made me think, Catherine, of work that you've led on Open Notes, which has worked to increase patient transparency in healthcare and related domains, most obviously by supporting patient access to their clinical notes, hence the name, I suppose.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you, you know, what concerns were initially raised about making clinical notes available to patients, and what parallels do you see with those concerns and this kind of open results, immediate release of test results?
That's a great question. Many of the concerns that we've heard about test results, so my patients will be upset, my patients will be confused, this is not for my patients, maybe some other patients, but it's not for my patients, were the exact same things we heard prior to Open Notes implementation. So there's a lot of parallels between the two. And this study actually suggests that there's a lot of parallels post-implementation as well. So we found across hundreds of Open Notes implementations that clinicians tended to have the same set of worries, no matter where they were, what kind of an institution they worked in, what their specialty was. They all sort of worried about the same bucket of things. And post-implementation, it was generally fine. Most of the things they worried about didn't come to pass. The difficult patient, so going to that worst case scenario, you know, their patient who was hard to deal with prior to implementation, still hard to deal with post-implementation, but it did, but for the majority of their patients, it turned out to be just fine. The patients who read the notes loved it, and it didn't tend to cause a lot of extra work for them. Now, the one difference, we are hearing a signal though, the one difference with the test results is in that increase in messaging after immediate hours after the result is released. And I do think that there needs to be more work in that area on how to deal with the volume of messaging, because we encourage patients to use the portal. You know, you hear this is the best way to reach me. I love to manage my patient panel through the portal. And I think patients are now taking, many more patients are taking advantage of that, and we don't have the system set up to deal with it. So that is the main difference. But on the whole, the worries and the effects are the same, which suggests that this is really a cultural change that we're going through here. It's just one more step on the road from the doctor owns the information about the patient to the patient is the owner of the information.
It
fits right into that broader story.
Yep. It makes sense. And with Open Notes, there wasn't a similar increase in messaging, or not as dramatic?
No. And in fact, the early studies really tracked that very closely because there was a lot of worry about that. So they tracked phone call volume and portal message volume and did not see the kind of increases that that some places are reporting around test results. Mm-hmm. And in our qualitative work, the conclusion that we drew is from interviews with patients and clinicians is for every patient that was writing or calling about something that they read in a note, there were between one and two patients who were not calling with a question because they read their note and it answered the question for them.
Mm-hmm. That makes somewhat intuitive sense to me, that you get a lot more information, going back to kind of the information and context we were discussing mm-hmm. earlier, there's just a whole lot more there in a note, and you get this kind of
right.
Contextless test result, and you can really have questions that you want answered quickly, and they can be concerning. Mm-hmm. I can see how that plays out. The secure messaging, you know, is managing that. It seems like an interesting challenge across a few dynamics.
I wonder too if it isn't somehow related to the structure of the portal. So if you think about the way some EHR portals work, the note, you might get a notification that you have an after visit summary, and then you have to kind of dig through the portal to get to the note. You know, there's the first you find the visits, and then you find the right visit, then you find the after visit summary, then you click on the note. Whereas the test results are usually pretty easy. We've been sharing them for a long time, much longer than we've been sharing notes, and they're pretty easy to find on the portal. So I do wonder if that isn't some of the difference, that it's a lot less work mm-hmm. on the patient side to find the test result.
Yeah. And with Open Notes, would you get anything equivalent to a notification about the note being there like you do with
some places would send notifications and some don't. It really just depends on the institutional policy.
Really interesting to track the lessons learned and the couple of ways we're seeing to think about how this will flow overall. Appreciate that insight. And I guess, with that, I, as a final thought, I wanted to ask you all, in your view, as we move forward with this, is there a role that ONC should be playing in helping the industry respond to the immediate release of test result rules? Just, top of mind, my thoughts from you all.
Well, I know that there's been that ONC has included information about open notes and how to implement open notes in your practice in a way that's kind of best practices for implementing. And I wonder if ONC shouldn't be involved in some efforts to understand what are the best practices for releasing test results. Is it what kind of language helps with pre-counseling? What kind of notification settings should be available? Do we need more granular controls at the patient level for this kind of access? What should a practicing physician do in order to implement this in a way that's good for patients and also good for clinicians? And I have kind of wondered if that's a role that ONC would get into, sort of like part of the EHR playbook idea.
Right. I was going to mention the Health IT playbook as a kind of model for that type of work. Makes sense. Any other thoughts, Brian or Rob?
Yeah, I mean, one slightly different viewpoint that I would point out based on some satellite work from this project would be patients are using these tools in more settings than I think we've traditionally considered, which is ambulatory visit, test gets ordered in an asynchronous fashion, something happens, test comes back, patient reviews, and at some point the clinician reviews the result with the patient. We know and are getting early signals that folks are using these in different environments, including in the acute care setting. So emergency departments, ICUs, places like that. And I would encourage ONC to put some efforts towards making sure that all of the policies that have been designed around this traditional ambulatory workflow still apply in all these different settings, which are now governed by the implementation of the Cures Act information blocking section. So that would be one thing I'd throw out there. And, you know, as I always have two hats about this, right? I have my informatician hat and sort of patient-centered researcher hat. And then I have my clinician hat where I see some of the underbelly of some of this, for lack of a cleaner way to say it. And I would just, you know, like to throw out the importance that we maintain a nuanced approach. There are definitely opportunities for good. And I think we've demonstrated the lion's share of opportunities are for good and for patient empowerment and for improving patient safety. But anybody who's been working clinically during this transition has heard of it, at least a few cases where pretty significant damage has been caused to the patient-clinician relationship when you know, bad things have been disclosed clinically through the portal when either the team hadn't prepared the patient, the health IT infrastructure wasn't set up to appropriately deliver the information. And I just think it's important that we all continue to revisit these topics and remain flexible and realize that nothing is perfectly good or perfectly harmful. But I just want to make sure that we're all really thinking about that, and that physical harm, you know, can sometimes be more complex than we give it credit for.
And a great reminder and something on our minds. And you know, we touched on some of the ways to customize or provide context to these things that I think, I hope are steps in the right direction there. Brian, a last word before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like the others have said, I mean, there's so much nuance here. And there's so much variation in how different institutions and different organizations are kind of implementing these rules. And so helping to just facilitate that conversation, highlight, you know, what's working well for one organization that might help other organizations, and, you know, just kind of keeping that conversation going where we're working towards, you know, providing all this information to patients and in a way that they can use it and use that to act on their care and improve their care.
I love that. It makes me think of the kind of the learning health system approach and everybody working, learning as a much broader system that than individual locations could ever be. So appreciate that. And with that, I'd like to thank you all, first of all, for conducting this really wonderful and I think important study. And secondly, for taking the time today to talk it over. We talked about a few things coming in the future and really hope to see, you know, where you're all headed with the work. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.